Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We're joined on the line by Michael Cornell, Hamburg School Superintendent, talking about the potential for students returning to school in the fall. Michael, thanks for joining us once again. Want to look at, the biggest question that I think a lot of people have is when this decision has to be made. Are you, nearing the point where you're kind of deciding, okay, we need to know, we need to have some sort of guidance or picture from the state as to what's going to be allowed?
Well, good morning to you both. And we are anticipating that guidance from the state at some point next week. And we have to remember that they have a difficult challenge before them, too, to try to develop guidance for a state that's large and has lots of divergent interests like New York does. So we have to be patient with them while they go about their work. What we have to understand here locally and what the state is grappling with, this is not just a problem you solve like a Rubik's Cube. You have a set of steps, you finish it, and you can set it aside. Starting school in September is much more complex than that. There's a lot we don't know about the virus. There are a lot of variables. We're not fully in control of the circumstances, and the circumstances can change quickly. So we actually have to manage an ongoing challenge. So what I think school districts across Western New York are doing, and what we're doing in Hamburg, is to build out a process that allows us to build planning that takes into account the complexity of the challenge that we have before us.
Michael, it obviously can't be just you that are, making the plans here for the fall. Give us an idea of how many people are involved in the reopening process.
So we talk all the time about the complexity of the challenges we face in terms of helping children learn and grow. So what we focus on in Hamburg is that the complexity, a high degree of complexity requires a high degree of collaboration. So in this particular instance, because this is a very, very complex challenge we have in front of us, we have about 100 people working in different teams to help us figure out exactly how we need to restart school in September.
When looking at all these people working on so many different plans that you might have in place, do you kind of have ideas that come up and ways to, whether it's socially distance or something else, where you kind of maybe quickly look at it and say, this just isn't feasible, whether that's, limiting the number of desks in a classroom or trying to keep students, so far apart. Are there those ideas that you look at and say, if this is the mandate, I don't know how we're going to do this?
I don't know that we have the luxury of doing that, Brian. I think one of the things that we've tried to do is design a process that allows all of the ideas to be put into that marketplace of ideas. For example, we've got our Board of Education. Everybody has a different role to play in an organization as large as a school district, right? So we've got the Board of Education, the superintendent, who by role and obligation see the whole field. They see the all 22. They see the entire organization. We have a group of stakeholders who represent particular constituencies, our bargaining units, the PTA, our board presidents there. We have our district office administrators. We have a local physician on that group. Then we have three separate working groups for individuals who dig deep into the specific issues associated with restarting school under any of the possible scenarios that we have in front of us. There's 15 or 20 people on each of those. We have our administrators. We have 18 of them. And then we have building-based core teams, which are existing shared decision-making teams, And those are the people who really get into the weeds of the daily operation of a school, where they take whatever the plan is and translate that into effective daily practice under whatever the circumstances are. So, you know, we need as many ideas on the table as possible, and we need to have a full-on conversation about all of them, because we have to be ready for everything and anything. If the last 4 months have taught us anything, it's that we have to be ready for anything. So, you know, we don't have the luxury necessarily of saying we can't do X or we can't do Y, because the problem is so complex and the circumstances change so quickly and so dramatically. We have to have everything on the table and be ready for everything in our planning.
So it's not a plan A, plan B. It sounds like you have multiple scenarios that you're planning for, and you must be able to kind of go from one to another, you know, in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, so we, you know, as we plan for the road ahead, we have three different working groups, the ones I just described. So we've got an instructional services working group, a social-emotional learning group, and an operations learning group. So, for example, inside the instructional services working group, we've got professional learning, student learning, scheduling, calendars, curriculum and instruction, grading and assessment, and that's just the beginning of the list. And then as we consider each of those things within instructional services, then we also have to go across and say, okay, what does that look like if we're in person, all of our students on campus every day? Then what do all of those things look like in a situation where we're in some type of a hybrid schedule where half of the kids are there one day and half of the kids another day? And then we have to look at all of those possible considerations within the context of what happens if we're required to go into a fully remote learning scenario. So, you know, within each of the scenarios, there are three umbrella considerations. And inside of those umbrella considerations, there are a number of topics that we're going to have to, consider. And the thing about like things like professional learning, student learning, within those, there is just a bundle of challenges. And then the list of those challenges will grow. But, you know, one of the things that I feel confident about in Hamburg is we have amazing people who understand the value of collaboration, who understand the value of the marketplace of ideas, who, you know, we don't admire problems, we solve problems. And frankly, I think that could be said for every school district of Western New York. We have amazing educators and families in our school districts in Western New York, and I think we're certainly up to the complex challenge.
The American Academy of Pediatrics released some guidelines, I think it was a little over a week ago, advocating that all policy considerations for the coming school year should start with the goal of having students physically present in school. Does that mean, you know, much to you, or are you just kind of solely dependent on what the state says? Do you pay attention to things like that?
Well, you know, it's not an or world. You know, we can't listen to the American Academy of Pediatrics or the state. It's an and world. We have to listen to both. So, you know, obviously the governor and the State Department of Health have proven themselves thoughtful partners in this process, and we're going to wait to see what their guidance says. And then we'll take a look at all the research around what that guidance says and make a great decision for our kids and our families. But, you know, the premise of AAP report is that we want kids in school. And for goodness sake, we're all educators and parents, and the natural state for kids between the age of 5 and 18 years old is to be having a great day at school every day, enjoying their friends, enjoying their activities associated with school, building relationships, and looking forward to going back and doing it the next day. So that's what we all want. You know, I don't think there's anybody who doesn't want that. What we have to do is find a way that we can accomplish that while we also maximize the safety of our students, of our staff, and of any visitors who come to our schools.
And how understanding are parents during all of this?
I've had a lot of really nice conversations with parents, actually. You know, they're concerned. I mean, it's an emotional issue for parents. I mean, every child is concerned, or every parent is concerned for the safety of their child, and you know, everybody who does what I do, I think, views their most important job is to send children home to their families in the same condition that we received them in the morning. So we all start from those basic premises, right? We want kids to be in school and we want them to be there safely. And we have amazing people who work in our school districts all across Western New York and certainly in Hamburg, and we want them to be able to come to work and enjoy their work and do it safely.
How stressful is the whole situation?
It's challenging. I mean, you know, in any role of responsibility, there's stress. And, you know, when you check the box of a school superintendent or a leader, you check the whole box. You get it all. You get, 98% of it is awesome. And, you know, there's a small percentage of it at any given time that can be stressful and difficult. So, you know, that's a part of the role. And, you know, it's what we signed up for. So I don't really think about it like that. I think about it, and I think most of my colleagues do. It's always an enormous responsibility when you have to consider the safety of children and staff and visitors. It's one that we take seriously, and, you know, one that we're taking seriously these days. And you know, under circumstances that are more uncertain, more challenging, more unpredictable, more volatile than what we normally have.
All right. Can't be like any other summer, I'm sure. Michael, thanks so much for the time. Michael Cornell is the superintendent of Hamburg Central Schools.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.